Let's go to the Word of God this morning with a new series, and here's how I do these early series, so no one's really fooled, okay? It's hard for me to write a brand new series for each, for every week, a brand new message in every week. That's a little tough on anybody. Anybody tell you that? And Roger would jump off a bridge. Amen? So what I do in this early service, these are messages that I have been able to write and preach in the second service, not in this first service. And so what I do, I go back over them. We're talking maybe years has passed. And I'll go back over my notes. I'll look at them. I'll ask the Lord, help me, give me a theme. And it keeps me from having to write everything all brand new. But it is new because it's the Word of God. Your mercies are new every morning. Amen. Preacher back there from Winter Haven, isn't that true? You look at one passage of Scripture and then you look at it again. You'll see something you never saw before and the Lord will hammer you to go that direction. Isn't that the truth? Amen. So let's go with a new series. I've called this new series, which is taken from a couple of different series, I've called it Stand. Can you say that with me? Stand. Don't you want to stand, say? Wouldn't you like to be able to stand strong, regardless of what it is you're facing? Don't you want America to stand strong? Somebody tell me. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You see what I'm saying? When you face temptation, do you want to cave or would you like to be able to stand against temptation? Amen? So let's talk this morning. And this first message is the foundation. We're going to talk about this in this message this morning, Daniel. And a lot of you know some of the stories of Daniel. But we're going to take from Daniel and we're going to lay a foundation that's really going to be necessary for us to stand in these future messages. Okay, so let's start with it. Here we go. New little series called Stand. Amen? Come on. Aren't you glad? If you're like that, how many feel like this is your life sometimes? Oh, my gosh. Boy, when it's like that, you want to make sure that foot's right, don't you say? Lord, help me. Here we go. Standing firm. Some things we don't have to stand firm on. We do to our own detriment many times. I'm an arguer. So are you. Don't me. And people like us, we'll stand firm on stuff that don't even matter just so we can win the argument. And usually get ourselves in lots of trouble. Certain things in life, though, especially the Christian life, boy, you need to stand firm. And that's what this message is today. Stand firm. Let's look at it. Let's go to the book of Daniel. If you have your Bible, certainly turn along with me. Otherwise, it'll be on the big screen for you, and you can see it clear as a whistle. And some of these scriptures I might zip past. We'll just see how we go. Daniel actually stood before many kings. God used this man in a mighty way before many kings. And so he had to stand firm in the toughest of situations. It's probably not going to happen that you're going to have to stand before a king and make a great stand and stand firm before a king. Okay? This man had to do that. And we can learn, if you did that in those circumstances, I can certainly do it in my world that I live in, and in my life. And so let's learn from this man. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring, help me here, certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of princes. So I know y'all gone and y'all taking the seed and everything. I want you to bring me back some young men. That's a pagan, ungodly, evil king. Bring me back some young men. Okay? Children in whom is no blemish. Well favored. Don't bring me the dumb ones. Skillful in all wisdom. Cunning in all knowledge. Understanding science. Such as had an ability in them to stand in the king's palace. I want you to bring me some little trophies that I can have in the palace. And whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want these young, bright men, young men, that I can train in our ways. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's what? meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand, there's our word, before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, say it with me, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, got it. There we go. Let's talk about our subject this morning. We've got a lot of scriptures. I hope y'all aren't sleeping on me yet, are you? Say, God help us. Come on. It's tough to stand firm in the king's palace. One wrong move, and they pay for it with their life. Amen? Here they are, these young men now in the king's palace. Can you stand in the king's palace? In an evil king's palace? Can you do right? Can you make it? How do you stand firm? That's what we're going to talk about this morning, looking at three different stories. This is one of them. Huge verse in the Bible. You ought to underline it, mark it, write it, and do something. But Daniel, say it with me, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. If you're going to stand firm, we're going to whistle Dixie here today unless you purpose in your heart. I can talk about Daniel all day, but we're going to see what he did. But unless you purpose in your heart to do the things we're going to talk about today, don't expect to stand. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now he's in an evil king's palace where it's evil all around him and it's wicked things going on. But he purposes in his heart he's not going to defile himself. Okay? And it might not seem like a big deal, but he said, I'm not going to defile myself with what goes in my mouth. What I eat. Or what I drink. Most of us will go, that's no big deal. Who cares? We're going to see why he cared. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I know they're going to feed us stuff for 3 years, but I sure would appreciate it if I didn't have to eat that. Look at it. Pop it up. Stand on God's word is our first point. Say that with me. Stand on God's word. Where did Daniel learn about the things that he should eat as a Hebrew, as a Jew? Wonder where he learned that from. Somebody tell me the what? The Bible. Amen. The word of God. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, absolutely. That's where he learned that. He learned this from God's word. Got it? Are y'all all right so far? So what was causing him to make the decision he was making here? It was his stand on God's word. Say that with me. Daniel was what? Come on. Help me one more time. Daniel was convinced. If I'm not convinced here on Sunday morning that I'm preaching the Word of God, that Jesus is the way, I quit. This is stupid. If I don't have the authority of the Word of God and that this is the truth. Y'all got it, yes or no? That's what drives my engine, man. Preacher, does it get hard sometimes to keep going, yes or no? If you didn't have that book to hang on to, it'd be rough, wouldn't it? Now, my life's never been as hard as Daniel's life. But that's what he hung on to. I'm convinced this is right. This wasn't just some diet my mama put me on when I was like a little baby. He's convinced that this is God's word and God's will for his life. He really believed what God had commanded. Say it with me. Was absolutely what? Right and what? Best for his life. Do you argue with the Bible? Do you try to get the Bible to line up and give you approval on what you're doing in your life? Say, ooh. Or do you say, guess what? He's God, I'm not. I'm a sinner, he's holy. What you say goes. I have problems, God. It's going to be hard to me to do that. But you said it. I'm going to go that path. I'm going to follow you. Amen? Say. I'm surprised at the people that come to see me sometime and want me to bless the sin they're doing. I ain't going to bless your sin. Find another preacher. Find a liberal preacher down to bless your sin. I ain't going to do it. Sorry. If the Word of God says it's wrong, then guess what it is? It's wrong. Yeah, but he loves me. He loves me. Hates your sin to death. Amen? He's a loving father. How many we have children? We see the kids that our kids doing things that are absolutely horrible. It's going to kill them. And we just love them. We love you so much. We'll just let you drive off a cliff. Yeah, because we love you. That's the dumbest thing on the planet. No, we get in their face, don't we, say? We try everything we can to make sure that don't happen, right? Why? Because we what? That's right. Come on. Daniel had a conviction about God's Word. Say what a conviction is. It's a what? Strongly held belief. I was taught when I first got saved that here's a conviction. My hair should never touch my ears. And now I've got a different conviction. If I had hair, it'd be about down to here. You go bald, see how long your hair would want to grow. Amen? We were taught, ladies, if you come to church, it's a conviction. You need to wear a dress. Is that true? Yes or not? No. Of course that's true. That's what we're taught. Is that right? Yes. Because you don't really love God, or somewhere, somehow, you're not being reverent. That's not a conviction. That's a preference. You prefer that, and that's okay. If you prefer to have your hair on your ears, great. But just don't put me in that stuff and tell me I got to do it that way. Amen? Because that's not what the Bible says. Y'all got it? Yes or no? There's principles in the Word of God. We can have preferences. There's certain things that are strongly held beliefs that are right there, black and white. This is the way it is. There is no bending. There is no turning away. Did I lose you already? Hope not. Let's keep looking. So what happened? He makes this request. He says, prove your servants 10 days, I pray. Let them give us pulse to eat. Now, that's nasty. Basically, it's like a vegetable. It's not nasty. It's like vegetable and broth. How many like vegetable soup? Say. There you go. There you go. That's what it is. And water to drink. Can't we like put a tea bag in it and some sugar? Can't that be sweet tea, Lord? Come on. Anyway, help me here. Then let our countenances be looked upon. You look at the way we eat and you check us out. And you see if our countenance doesn't look as good or better than the portion of the king's meat as you see you deal with your servants. Amen? So the guy consented to them, even though he really didn't want to. He proved them how many days? 10 days. I'm going to be ugly to you, church. Some of you do well to go on a vegetable soup diet for 10 days. Oh, that was ugly. I'm sorry. Woo! Mercy! And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared what? Fairer, and this is the funniest thing for me, one in the Bible. Read that with me. And what? That's why I don't just eat vegetables. I don't want to get fat. Amen? That's terrible, ain't it? No, their countenance appeared fairer, and their face was just looked better than all the children which ate the portion of the king's meat. So what's the point? If you're going to stand firm for Jesus Christ, you must be absolutely convinced that what? It's true and right. Did Daniel do what God's Word said do? Yep. And did it work? Somebody tell me. Yep. Are you convinced that if you do that, it's all going to be good? It's all going to be okay. Some of us, people like me, worry ourselves to death. We stress ourselves to death. When the best thing we could do is just bank it on the book. Amen? I'm a work in progress. I still doubt. I still struggle. You know what I mean? But I'm learning that, man, that's the right way. Clark, if I want to stand firm, if it's in that book, you just bank it on that book. Amen? Before you know it, if you don't bank it on the book, you'll be telling people if they read the Quran, they can also go to heaven. Or you'll be telling people, yeah, you can worship that little fat little guy over there in China, Buddha, whatever, and maybe rub his head or something, and you'll go to heaven too. Does the Bible teach that? Yes or no? Does the Bible teach God had one son? Yes or no? His name was who? Does the Bible teach that, or am I blowing smoke up here? That's what the Bible teaches. There's no other way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you going to bank it on that? Doesn't mean other people are inferior, but I'm going to tell you something. Every religion is inferior to Jesus Christ. Every one of them.
You know, bottom line. That's not being mean. That is my faith. Why in the world would we kowtow and back up when that's what our Bible teaches us? We lose all kind of respect out of lost people out there when we're so weak and whiny. Are y'all listening? Even if somebody's wrong in their beliefs, if they stand for their beliefs, sometimes I even respect them because at least they got something in them that's caused them to stand. Amen? But ultimately, I want them to get it right. Amen? God's Word is God's Word, period. You have it. And I know that's hard on some of you. I preach like this on TV, and I get calls every once in a while. Somebody telling me, you know, I'm a divider. I'm not a uniter. The Word of God just came to me. Here it is. The Word of God is quick. Say it with me if you know it. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged. What's that next word? Dividing asunder. I don't think you and I have been called to divide. We've been called to tell people about Jesus Christ. Is that right? Yes or no? And that might mean some division. I hope it is division. I hope it is. I hope that means I get them out of the devil's camp and now they're in Jesus' camp. Amen? They were going to hell. Now they're going to heaven. That's some division. I like that kind of math. Amen? Let's keep looking. Here we go. I'm late, Raj. We're not late yet, but he knows I'm late. Let's look at another quick one. This is another king, another situation. How did Daniel stand? Now he's older. He's been in the kingdom for a good while. Another king's on the scene. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom a different king, Darius, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Over these three presidents, Daniel was one of them. He had risen to power and to leadership. Because he learned to stand firm, he learned to gain respect, even of heathens. And the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because an excellent what? Was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Wow! Then the presidents and princes sought occasion against Daniel. They were jealous. But they couldn't find any occasion or fault in this man. For as much as he was what? Faithful. Neither was there any what? Error or what? Fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. I love this part right here. Except we find it against him concerning the what? The only way we can get this guy, we know he will not disobey God's word. Wouldn't that be great if that was said of us, church? Yes or no? I mean, I'll bend this way and I'll bend that way and I'll go this far and I'll do this and I'll do that. But if it comes to breaking God's word, that's the end of the road with me. That's some firm standing, isn't it? Daniel's enemies knew he was a man of conviction. Keep looking. So what happened? So these presidents of princes, they assembled themselves together. They said unto King Darius, live forever. They sucked up to the king and lied like a dog. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, they've consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for how many days? Save of you, O king, he should be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing. What king that's a heathen wouldn't do that? I mean, y'all like want to pray to me for 30 days? Okay. So it couldn't be changed. He signed it into law, the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. How do you stand firm? Number one is stand on God's word. Pop it up. See what we're going to find out. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, say that with me. When he knew what? One more time. When he knew what? He went into his house with his witness what? You know what we are, Christians? We're cowards so many times. We're going to go in there and we're going to pull the shade. Not Daniel. He had a whole lot more to lose probably than you and me. Open in his chamber towards you. He kneeled upon his knees, not one time, somebody tell me. Three times a day, he prayed, he gave thanks before who? The king or not? No, his God. and he, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled. They found Daniel praying. They knew he'd do it. They knew he'd do it. They knew he'd do it. They knew he's a man of conviction, making supplication before his God. So what do you stand? How do you stand firm? Number one, you stand on what? The Word. Number two, you stand on what? I used to be the preacher who did not pray. I was that guy. I would get up and preach in my energy because I've got lots of energy. I didn't realize I had energy, but y'all tell me I've got energy. I didn't realize it. I got up and preached in my own energy. It didn't mean I didn't love God. I didn't care for God. I did. But I realized when my pain and my struggle became so great in this ministry when we're starting it, and God did it. I didn't do it. I don't take any credit. Before we opened the doors on day one, it was overwhelming what we were about to do. We all hit the ground out front because the people weren't here to unlock the building. They were late. I don't think they were late. I think they were right on time. God wanted me to hit the ground out front. And that was almost 8 years ago, and there's not a Sunday that goes by now that we don't get in a truck out front before the key opens up the building, and I come into it anyway, that we prayed with men in the truck. I am now committed to prayer. I don't say that boastful. I'm saying that's just the truth. I'm committed to prayer. I sure am glad. I was angry at that meeting on Tuesday. Nothing would have got done with me there. I was mad as a hornet. I sure am glad somebody in this place is committed to prayer. Amen? Prayer has been, you got to be committed. Yeah, convinced that the Word of God is true. But now you got to be committed to prayer. You don't understand. I'm discouraged. This happened, that happened. I can't pray. God doesn't answer my prayer. Blah, blah, blah. Pray, fool. Pray. You don't know what I'm going through. Pray, man. You're hearing me today. I know you hear me because I'm screaming. He really believed that God hears and answers prayer. No wonder he could stand. Stand on the Word, stand on prayer. Well, anyway, commitment. I'm weak. I wonder how committed I would be if there wasn't five or six men every Sunday who I knew were counting on me and I'm counting on them. To be honest with you. But I'm a changed man every Sunday. Y'all, they see me so depressed sometimes when I come into that truck. I'm just telling you the truth. Prayer can change your whole attitude. How many would agree with it? Prayer can change your day, your attitude, a situation. And maybe it won't fix what you're praying for, but it fixed you. And that's okay. Amen? It's a commitment. It's an obligation. He was obligated. Daniel said it this way. I'm in with both. Sorry. Can't handle your rule, dudes, because I'm in with both. You telling me they took me from Jerusalem as a young man, and then I was able to survive that, and God helped me, and I became like the leader of this country under the king, and you think you're going to make some rule, and all of a sudden I'm going to turn on my God who gave me this place and put me in this position? You've been smoking some stuff. He wasn't going to do it. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray, will I cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It'll be done unto you. That ain't get a little wish list, name it, claim it. If his words abide in you and you pray, prayer will work. It might work on you. You might get a whole different perspective. But it'll work. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, they cast him into the den of lions. And you know the story. We're going to move ahead. What happened? The lions got what? Lockjaw. He was fine. Threw him in the den of lions. And the king regretted that he had done that. He made a decree, man, that they worship his God. Amen? The last one, how do you stand firm? And we're going to finish the message. If you're going to stand firm for Jesus Christ, you must be absolutely committed to prayer. You must be convinced that the Word of God is true if you're going to stand firm as a believer in Christ. Number three, standing firm. How do you do it? Another king. Now, this guy was a piece of work. Grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. He drank wine before the 1,000. This is historical record how this battle happened and everything. You ought to read history books on this, how this all came down. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father or grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, those sacred vessels. He was drunk. Let's drink wine out of those things. All right? So they brought the golden vessels that were out of the temple of the house of God, which were at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, they did what? They're drinking out of sacred vessels that God had used for worship. They drank wine. They praised gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone. You ever said something crazy when you was drunk? Say. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. How many ever been drunk and thought you saw something? There you go. They're drunk, man. The same hour a hand came out and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. And the king saw part of a hand writing on a wall. Then the king's countenance was changed. That'll do it. His thoughts were troubled. The joints of his loins were loosed. I think he messed his pants. Excuse me. How many think you'd have done that? Be honest. His knees smote together. The king cried aloud, "Bring the astrologer, the Chaldeans, the soothsayer." The king spake and said to the wise men, "Whoso shall read the writing and show me the interpretation of that thing that was written on the wall shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, be the third in the kingdom." They all came in. They couldn't make known the interpretation. Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed in him, and the lords were astonished at what had happened to this man. Something, this man looked like he done seen a ghost. How do you stand firm? Now the queen, by the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spoke and said, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts trouble you, nor your countenance be changed. There's a man in the kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods is. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in this man, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say your father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, they were found in a man named," say it with me, "Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation." This is the queen talking. "And Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke, 'Are you Daniel?' 'Yep.' 'Whom the king, my father, brought in.'" This is a lot of scripture, guys. Number one, I stand on the what? Word of God. I am convinced it's the truth. Number two, I stand in prayer. I am committed to praying. Number three, I stand in obedience. I have a connection to God. I'm connected. I'm going to obey Him. I'm not my own anymore. I'm going to do the right thing and follow Him. This was a tough one. Daniel really believed that if he obeyed God, he would be able to do anything God called him to do. How many would go to a king and interpret something that knew would have your head cut off if you said it? He knew if he obeyed God and he did the right thing and gave the proper interpretation, God would save him. He was content with that. He was filled with peace. He was filled with peace. That's the beautiful thing about God's Word and obeying God's Word. You can always say in your heart, "God, you said this. I'm going to bank it on you. I'm going to trust in you. You did it. You said it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to follow it." And there's an amazing peace that passes understanding that will come over you. How many have ever experienced that? Yeah. Standing firm ain't easy. It may what? So what happened to Daniel when he went to the... "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Let your gifts be to yourself. I don't want your mess. Give your rewards to somebody else.' Yet I'll read the writing. I'll read the wall. And I'll make it known unto you." "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, you've not humbled your heart. And you knew all this. You've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. You've brought vessels of the house of God in here. You've had concubines. You've drunk out of these glasses with your mess going on. You praise gods of silver, gold, and brass. They don't hear. They don't see. They don't know squat. The God in whose hands your breath is, who all your ways are in, you ain't glorified God." Boy, that's a big old talk, ain't it? "Then was the part of the hand sent from God. And this was the writing. And here's what it said on the wall. Many, many tekel upharsin. That was the language it was written in. Many, many tekel upharsin. I'll tell you what it means. This is the interpretation. God's numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel. You've been weighed in the balance and you come up short, Jack. Perish. Your kingdom is divided. And actually, this very night, your kingdom will be given to the Medes and Persians. You ought to read the history books how that happened. Phenomenal. Then commanded Belshazzar and clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was what? Was Daniel right to obey God? Was Daniel okay? Yeah. Here we go. If you're going to stand firm for Jesus Christ, you must know that you're absolutely connected to God and you can do anything He calls you to do. But don't go spooky on us and start telling us how God told you stuff that ain't in the Bible. Because then you're on your own, Jack. Amen? Say. Banking on that book, brother. Come on. Standing firm. Amen. Three things and we quit with this. Satan's plan is to oppose God's word. He says, don't listen. Satan says, don't pray, don't communicate to God. Satan says, he's opposed to the Spirit of God that touches your life. He says, don't obey that still, small voice. You going to obey God's plan or Satan's plan? Got it, church, this morning? We're done. Let's praise the Lord for His word this morning. Amen? Your word. Amen! Praise God. Amen. Let's stand.